Hello, everybody, and happy Sunday. Today we're finishing up the book of Acts. It's been a blast. We've been in it for months, and today's message is entitled Portals to Hope. A good definition of the word hope I'll put on the screen, and it's this: the confident expectation of good happening. But there's actually so much more to the word hope than that. First of all, hope is about strength. Look at this verse from Psalm 62. We pop this on the screen. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. And later on in that chapter, verse six, it refers to God as a fortress and as a rock. And those are words of strength. So our hope is based in strength. That's the first thing about it. And secondly, hope is a necessity. Look at this verse out of Proverbs chapter 13, the Old Testament book of wisdom. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Yeah, we don't do well without hope. Hope plays a huge part in our mental, physical, and emotional well-being. Ask any doctor or therapist. This is why I'm so excited to bring you this message today, because today we're going to discover how to arrive at this place called hope. Quite a few years ago, when our son, who is 31 now, that makes me feel so old, but when he still lived with us, I would play him in this video game called Portals, and some of you remember it. It was a really simple video game, and as the player, you would go from room to room and level to level by entering into these magic portals, which were like multi-dimensional secret passageway, and if the player wins the game, your reward in the game is cake. It just doesn't get any better than this game, okay? Today, we are going to read about some portals. Portals that take us to hope, and the reward for getting to hope is not cake. It's much better than that. It's a wellness of being, it's strength, and it's a completely new outlook for our future. It's sweet stuff, like cake, okay? These portals are mentioned in Acts 27. Let me set the scene of this chapter for you, though. The Apostle Paul is heading for Rome, and he knows it's going to be trouble there. He's going to stand trial. He is currently a prisoner on a ship that will eventually shipwreck, causing all aboard the ship to lose hope and fear for their lives. So that's where we pick it up in Acts 27, verse 13, and we're going to read from verse 13 to 34. It's an extended section of scripture. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they, the sailors, saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. They were just being driven along by a hurricane. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So then the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, tying the ship together. That's never good. Because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. That's like you think you're going to get in a wreck in your car. You go, we got to get rid of some stuff. Here, let's get rid of the steering wheel. That's what they did there. Not good move at all. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice and not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whom I belong to and whom I serve stood beside me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God is graciously giving you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as God told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again, found it was only 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. There's a brave move. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you have been in constant suspense," anxiety is the word there, "and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." All right. Let me mention some portals to hope that are mentioned in this story. The first one, portal number one, is a word. In verse 22, Paul shares a word of encouragement to the people on the ship. They had abandoned all hope. They were at their lowest point. And then Paul steps in and says, "We're all going to be okay. The ship's a goner, but we're all going to be okay." Oftentimes in our life, this is the first porthole we move through towards hope. When we're at our lowest point, when we're about to give up, when we feel like the storms in our life are going to get the best of us, out of nowhere, a message will arrive, a word of encouragement that literally changes the trajectory of our lives and inspires us to keep going. This kind of message might come from an unlikely source. On the story we just read, the message of encouragement came from Paul, okay? Paul was a prisoner on the ship. You would have expected a word of encouragement to come from the captain on the ship, but instead it came from a prisoner. That's surprising. That's amazing. In my life, I have received words of encouragement from unlikely sources. Sometimes lines from movies, sometimes from little kids, sometimes from complete strangers, but I always receive them because I know ultimately their source is in God. I'm going to read you two quotes right now from the author Elizabeth Gilbert, who is famous for writing Eat, Pray, Love. And this will be a word of encouragement. The first slide I'm going to show you will definitely be a word of encouragement to you from her. And that might be a surprise person to get a word of encouragement from. And the second slide I'm going to show you, I'm showing you just because it made me laugh. Okay? But here's your word of encouragement. She says, "Ruin is a gift. Ruin is the road to transformation." When I read that, I was so encouraged because I thought, when my life seems like it's in ruins, that's when a major change usually happens, and God uses the ruin to make my life even better. So there's your surprise word of encouragement. The second one applied so much to me, it made me laugh, and she says this: "You have the opposite of poker face. You have like miniature golf face." And I just thought, okay, that is so true in my life. I wear my emotions on my shirt sleeve. All right. The portal of encouragement is so important because, in case you haven't noticed, there are a lot of negative Noras around us. There are so many in the world. People who will come up to be us and me at our worst moments, at our lowest moments, and say something like, "Hey, I know you're struggling right now, but brace yourself. It's probably going to get worse." These people are not helpful, and they're no fun at parties. And I'm sure some of the sailors on the boat were negative Noras, yelling things like, "Don't listen to Paul. We're all going to die," just like the crew of the Betsy Lee did last year in that big hurricane. "We're going to die. That's what's going to happen." Some people just seem to have the gift of discouragement. Have you noticed that? It's like they're filled with the spirit of Eeyore, and they feel like they have to share their discouragement with everybody. You don't have to listen to them, okay? Receive a word of encouragement from a surprise source. Don't listen to the negative Noras. Portal number two, a special presence. Check out verse 23 again. Paul tells people he had received a visit from this angelic being, this heavenly presence, a special presence. Presence is another porthole that takes us to hope. Let me give you a few examples of that using two documentaries that my wife and I have been watching. We've been just cruising through documentaries. Documentaries rock. The first one is the documentary that's called Welcome to Wrexham, which many of you have watched, and it's about two actors, Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds, that buy a struggling soccer or football team in Wales, and it's so good. And at one point, I think it's in season four, one of the best players on the team, Rob Mullen, they call him Super Rob Mullen, He visits this 11-year-old boy in the hospital who had been stricken with a rare form of blood cancer. And he doesn't just visit this kid once. He visits the kid over and over and over again, so much so that they now consider Rob Mullen part of their family. And in one particular visit, Rob walks into the room, and you should see the boy's face when he walks in. It just lights up. And then he goes, "Hey, I got something for you." And he takes out his phone, and on FaceTime, he calls the actor Ryan Reynolds from, what's that movie he's in? Deadpool, okay? And the kid happened to be a fan of the Deadpool movies, and he goes, "Hey, I got a friend for you." And he has the kid talk to this world-famous actor, and the kid is just glowing by the end of this visit. Rob Mullen, Super Rob Mullen's visits become a presence that leads this boy to hope. Oh, and you see the kid on later on in season 5 at a game and stuff, and he's doing better. It's just so amazing. He was at his lowest point when Rob came to visit him, and it gave him hope. The second is from a documentary called Inside the Mind of Dogs. I don't know if you've watched that. It's so good. And at one point, there's a section where they talk about therapy dogs or companion pets. And there's a girl, she's struggling with some developmental disablement, and she can't even talk. She can walk kind of slowly, can't even talk, and is really antisocial and full of anxiety. She's just not doing well in her life. And they partner her with this amazing golden lab. It's just this amazing dog. And they show her progress. And because of this bond she has with this dog, she progresses mentally, physically, and she can start to talk now. A year later, she's like a different human. And this dog became this special presence that led her to hope. I'm not kidding you. On the days when you feel hopeless, I urge you, look around. You're not going to be alone. God will send you a special presence. It may not be an angel, though it may be. And if it is, please tell me about that. I'd like to hear about that experience. But it will be a special presence of some kind. Maybe a friend you haven't seen in a while. Maybe a therapist. Maybe a kind-hearted stranger. Maybe a dog. I don't know. But somehow, some way, their presence will transport you into hope. And of course, the presence of God is our ultimate special presence into hope. Look at this verse out of the Psalms again. "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." God's presence is a portal to hope also. Let's move on to portal number 3, a reality check. This is not my favorite portal to go through. Look at verse 26. At first glance, we are introduced to this portal, and it just seems like a really bad pep talk. And by the way, going back to Welcome to Wrexham, the coach of the team gives the worst pep talks I've ever seen in my life at halftime of the games. By far and away the worst. The team will come in there, and he'll just rail on them. "You're playing like bleep," and he uses all these expletives, and "You're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong," and he uses the F-bomb like kids eat candy, okay? He drops so many F-bombs. At one of his pep talks, I counted, and he dropped 15 F-bombs, and that's just the part the camera's picking up in the documentary, okay? There was probably 30 more, and at the end he goes, "Okay, let's go." And somehow it works. They win a lot of games. Paul appears to be giving a horrible pep talk in verse 26. He starts out good. He says, "Take courage. You're going to make it." But then he adds this little caveat. "But we are going to run aground, crash the ship, and be stranded on an island for a while." That's a horrible pep talk, but it's really not a pep talk. It's a reality check, and it's a portal into hope. You see, so many Christians have this belief that if something is easy and painless, then it's from God. But if it's difficult and maybe a struggle, maybe even painful, then it's obviously not from God, and they steer away from that. They even run away from that. Sadly, when they run away from that, they're also running away from God and from hope in the process. Because you'll discover quite often in your life, we enter into hope right in the middle of our pain and trouble. Not around it, right in the middle of it. The pain is where the portal appears. So let's get a reality check today, just like these sailors did. in the future in our life, yes, we'll have some good times, but we're going to have some pains and struggles and hurt, but it will be a portal into hope. If you read on in the book of Acts, these people, they end up on the island of Malta, which is just gorgeous, and the islanders show them unusual kindness, and they eventually board a ship and make it to their destination. Hope right in the middle of hurt. Look at this great example of this in Romans chapter 5. And this is the Apostle Paul writing, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness." And I don't know what verse that is. That's not the verse I wanted up there. I should have checked that more closely. Anyways, check out Romans chapter 5, because somewhere in that chapter is a verse about hope in the midst of pain. You just have to trust me. It was a long week. Okay? Let's move on to portal number 4. Community. In verse 30, some of the sailors attempt to abandon ship, and they're not just doing that, they're actually abandoning the other people on the ship, kind of a selfish move. And Paul lets them know, no, it's all or nothing. Either we make it through this together or none of us are going to make it. Just as Paul emphasizes community in this scenario, in this shipwreck scenario, we have to emphasize it every day in our lives. We are in this together. We will make it together. One of my favorite authors, she just wrote on her Substack, she was having coffee with some other authors that are actually really talented too, and one of the authors just asked the group a question: why do we even bother going to church anymore? It's actually a really good question, because when you think about it, there's some weird stuff happening in the church in the United States. White Christian nationalism is somehow seeping into many churches, and some churches are full of xenophobia and sexism and homophobia, and it's being spoon-fed to people, and then they're told it's from Jesus. Ugh, you know, that kind of stuff. Church can be really weird, so why even go? Well, the author's response was so good. She said, "I go to church because I'm in need of help. I need help to pray. I need help to forgive. And I need help to remember that there is a bigger, truer story than what I'm being sold on in the internet every day." Yeah, I thought that's a great answer of why to go to church. We experience help and grace and inspiration and friendship and the love of the living God in community. And as a result, we are filled with hope. Community is a big porthole to hope that we pass through, but we pass through it together. That's why it's such a big portal. This whole point made me think of a time in the Special Olympics a few years ago. There were some contestants, some young kids, and they were running the 100-meter dash. And if you've ever watched Special Olympics contestants or volunteered at it like I did, they put their whole heart and soul into their activities, into their athletic endeavors. So these 9 contestants were lined up to run the 100-meter dash, and they were just, oh, they were just shaking with excitement. And the gun goes off, and they take off, and they're running with all their might. And then one of the contestants, a young boy, stumbles and falls, and he's overcome with emotion, and he just bursts into tears. The other 8 contestants are running, but they're looking around. They don't just look at the finish line if you've ever watched Special Olympics. They're looking at the crowd. They're looking at each other all over the place. And they notice, hey, one of us is missing. And they all turn around. All 8 of them stop in the middle of the race and turn around and see the boy, and they run back to him. They all 8 of them. Not one of them didn't go. They run back to him. They help him up. They link arms. And they finished the race together. Slowest 100-meter dash in the history of the world, but probably one of the best. And it reminds me, this is that mental picture, we will get to hope together. We might not get there fast. It might be a struggle, but we will get there together. And the last portal, this is my favorite one, eat. This is my favorite one. In verse 33, the sailors were anxiety-ridden. They'd lost hope, but they'd also lost their appetite. Paul doesn't really chastise them. He just tells them to eat, and things got better after that. I can totally relate to that. When I'm struggling in my life, I feel so much better after a good burrito. I just feel like life is so much more doable now, because in our difficult and anxious times, we sometimes don't eat, and then we get chemically imbalanced and we get over emotional and weepy. If we don't take good care of our bodies can actually drag our spirits down, and hope can feel so much further away. No wonder the Bible starts with a phrase in the book of Genesis, which begins the Bible, where God looks at humankind that God had created and says, "Eat freely of the plants I have given you." And then the Bible ends with God looking at humankind and saying, "Drink freely." So God is saying, "Eat freely, drink freely." It's a portal to hope. Gene's going to come up right now and lead us in a spiritual practice about this topic of hope, and then Brandy will end our service with a few announcements. So, Gene?
This doesn't have anything to do with the practice, but I have to share just two things real quick. I, too, have been watching Paralympics as I volunteer at Hayward Field, and there were these two guys. This will give you hope, and this is what happened to their lives as they had hope. A person's born blind, and for some people that might feel like a sentence. I saw a blind guy run a 100-meter dash. And the way he did it was, he was working with someone who was attached to him with, I guess they called it a tether, and they had practiced so much, and this guy was beaten cheeks, and he ran full on, unable to see, a wonderful 100-meter dash. A few events later, I saw another blind guy do a long jump. How do you do that? The announcer at Hayward said, "Everybody please be quiet." The guy had a partner down by the sand pit who maybe was calling to him while he was running, and he was running toward the voice. Maybe he was calling steps, I can't remember. But then he said, "Now," and the guy jumped. Can you imagine the hope of a person who thought, "I'm blind, what can I accomplish? Well, maybe I'll go to Hayward Field and compete in national quality Paralympic or para long jump." So that's what hope can do for you. Okay, that didn't have anything to do with what I'm doing. I just had to share those because they were so cool. So Paul said to the sailors, "An angel of the God whom I serve appeared to me last night." Tim talked about the special presence. But that angel didn't have to travel anywhere to get to Paul. God didn't have to travel anywhere to share God's presence with Paul. We who uphold the Christian faith, that the Orthodox Christian faith for now a couple thousand years has believed that God is everywhere all the time. So God appeared. So let's take a moment just to think about that. How are you doing with that? Does it strike you as natural as anything that God is with you all the time? Or is that new to you? How are you at acknowledging God's presence with you all, everywhere, in every situation? Just take a moment to meditate on that. How do you do with that? God's presence is with you everywhere, all the time. Okay, now let's take this a step further. Sometimes in contemporary Christian lingo, people can equate the phrases, "That was really great," or "That was fun," or "I liked that," with "God was there." But if we believe that God is everywhere all the time, God is just as there in the terrible circumstances as in the good ones. How does that sit with you? You may not be adrift at sea, but surely you have at some point in your life experienced what seemed like a hopeless situation. You may be in the midst of one right now. Can you take just a moment to think, how do I do with this? Do I really believe that God is with me in this seemingly hopeless situation? Ask God for the grace to sense God's presence with you in the midst of seemingly hopeless situations. And then finally, let's tie it up with a kind of a practical step. If we believe that God is always with us, constantly manifesting the divine presence, that means that to be present to the present moment is to be present to God's presence. To be present to the present moment is to be present to God's presence in that moment. How does that sit with you? Do you think that sounds right? Is that something you would like to be experiencing more often but need help with? Just mull that over with the Lord. To be present to the present moment is to be present to God's presence. Lord God, you know our hearts. We all have lots of things going on that demand our attention, but we pray for grace through each day, more and more often, to sense your wonderful presence in each and every moment. Amen.